Welcome to PJEFC's Pulpit Ministry, a ministry that is committed to the preaching of the Word to transform lives.
So on the last DMM topic, essential discipline, let's read the Bible passage together today. Three Bible passages, and I ask the congregation to read together with me. Matthew 4, 18 to 20, let's go. As Jesus walked alongside the Galilee Sea, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, throwing fishing nets into the sea, because they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," he said, "and I will show you how to fish for people." Right away, they left their nets and followed him. So, we are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making his appeal through us. And Matthew 28, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you." Two reasons why I show us the video of Micah fishing. This is Micah when he was younger. Two reasons. Number one, growing up in my parents' household, you all know my history, I spent my years of childhood eating fish, fishball, fish cakes, leftover fish, smell like fish, but I never liked anything to do with fishing besides eating them. My favorite fish is cooked fish. I don't have the patience to even sit up 30 minutes looking at a pond waiting for fish to eat the bait. So I wonder where my son got the love from fishing from. I mean, Gary also don't like fish. Secondly, the reason why I show you this video is being the chairman of PJFC is a tough job. Church matters, so many things to handle. Some more, he has to carve up his precious time to teach a pastor's kid to fish. And sometimes, to do that effectively, he not only has to shout and encourage from the background, "Reel it in, take it in," you can hear, right? "Take it in, take it in," because actually the fish is very small. I don't know why he's taking so long. Anyway, sometimes to do that effectively, he not only has to encourage and shout from aside, but to also get into the business himself, like this photo show, jump into the pond and get himself wet, being together with my son to teach him close up. This is how you catch a fish. Very Jesus-like. "Come, follow me," Jesus say, into the pond full of fish. Some you can see, some you can't see, and I will show you how to fish. When Jesus invites his disciples to go fishing, he didn't just send them out and let them figure out on their own. This is how you go, lah. Go there, lah. Go there, go there, and just send them away. But he always showed them how to do it first. And more importantly, why are they to fish for people? And how they can effectively do so. Welcome to the final Sunday of Disciple Making Month, when I hope to close us off with the final essential spiritual practice, and that is to share our faith. Now, we have used various terms to describe sharing our faith. You most probably have said words like evangelize, bearing witness to someone about Jesus, tell someone about who our Lord is, testify, or what the passage today says, fish for people. No matter which term you use, in my personal opinion, out of the five that we have gone through, this is the discipline that most of us struggle with. But let me not assume. So like Chiwai, he did a survey, right? I'm going to do a survey, but I'm not so high-tech, so I'm just going to ask you to raise your hands if that's you. Hands up if you think you have the gift of evangelism. Don't be shy. Okay, got three. Hands up if you have at least shared Jesus with someone this year. Okay, still less than 10% of the congregation. Hands up when I mention the word evangelize or tell someone about Jesus, you can't wait for the service to be over so you can start telling someone about Jesus. Like Chiwai, I got work to do today. Not many hands are raised, so that means we all discover today that we need encouragement to build deeper still in Christ in this very important area of our discipleship, sharing our faith with others. We all struggle with this. I struggle with this. I do pastoral care. I do social concern. I marry people. I bury people. We visit the sick and unwell among us. Some of us do very well the four basic spiritual disciplines. We worship, we pray, We serve, we give generously even. We study God's word. But when it comes to evangelism, we are sometimes not very sure how to do it without embarrassing ourselves. Talk Jesus at the reunion. Paiseh. Everyone tossing the yiseng. Suddenly I say, Jesus, not very nice. Gong ye so. It always ruins the mood. Maybe I wait until my uncle is sick, lying on the dead bed, more desperate, say whatever also he will accept. Then you think to yourself, isn't that a little bit manipulative? So we struggle with witnessing to others out of different fears sometimes. Fear of being seen as outdated, uncool thing to do. Fear of rejection. I was doing this session with the youth yesterday, and one of the things is like, we feel awkward. It's not something that you bring into conversation. That's their answer, why they do not share Jesus with people. Fear of being asked questions that we cannot answer. And you can't always call Pastor Jeremy to answer those questions for you. So many of us don't share also because we are scared of being called hypocrite. We are not doing very well in growing to become like Jesus. So we say, wait until we become more like Jesus, then we share. And we find out that day never come. So we wrestle with internal fear. We wrestle with the fear that we lack preparation. And perhaps if we search deeper, maybe some of us don't care about people enough to share Jesus with them. And therefore, we don't share. Can we do something about this? How can we practice this essential spiritual discipline and even thrive in doing so? Now, I believe there's a way through it, but before we discern how, I think it's good to be reminded of why do we share Jesus? Why is it an essential discipline that we are called to follow Jesus and do our bit to share faith with people? Now, most of you already know this, but to witness is a missional mindset that comes from Jesus himself. I asked you to read two, three passages. Two of them talk about this missional imperative. The imperative is simple. Matthew 28, before he ascended, he gave us that great commission. Go, get out of your comfort zones and go and make disciples of all nations. And we all know disciples basically mean learner of Christ. We are called to go and help people to learn more about Jesus, to learn more about this Savior. And then in Matthew chapter 4, 18 to 20, he calls them to follow him. And very specifically, if you read that verse, he calls people to follow him, to fish for people, to show them and to invite them to a better way of life, the Jesus way of life. So why do we share? It is to be obedient to the call of Jesus that have given us this missional imperative. Sharing Jesus ought to be our mission statement that we carry on till we see him again. Have you ever recommended a favorite restaurant to a friend? Two weeks ago, I asked the church office WhatsApp group, that says, hey guys, I'm making a trip to Penang soon. Any recommendation for the best chao kui tiao and asam laksa that I should try? And the answers came in swiftly. It's on a Monday where everybody on sabbatical at church office. But it came swiftly. Pastor James, number one. Don't know whether he remember. He was waiting for me to ask that question like that. Asam laksa, pasa ai itam. And then, of course, there are some other people who answer. But I want to show us, there's this guy called Edwin Key. And I asked that question, they give me a list of all the shops. These are just a few screenshots, I tell you. Chao kui tiao, wow, give us maps, some more how to order with dark egg, include mantis prawn on top, regular prawn, go early, normally lunchtime finish, kim seng kopitiam. Any one of you know this? Agree? They are good? If not, then I will have issue with Edwin. Kim Seng Kopi Tiam, whatever, original Kim Laksa move there, wow, and some other food. And then along the way, you get quite personal one. Something not found in Klang Valley or mediocre food. Wow. Yeah, that's why he's not here today, because the rest of us are from Klang Valley. Yeah. And then it struck me, as I was reading all his comments and all his suggestions, he was witnessing or testifying to something that he loves. And he loves everything about Penang. And interesting things happen when we talk about something that we love, we enjoy, and find meaningful. The very act of sharing about a person, a place, a movie that you watch, a song, a plant actually increases our positive feelings when we tell others about it. It is the same thing, and it's also true when it comes to our faith. As we tell someone about our faith, our experience of God's love, when we tell someone about a church that we attend that cares for people, about Jesus' presence in our lives, we find that our faith in Christ and our love for Jesus actually deepens, increases, not unlike how Edwin's feel. His love for Chao Kwee Tian and Asam Laksa surely deepen as he recommend and as he share his recommendation with me. It is in giving away our faith, sharing it with others, not keeping to ourselves, that our faith and our spiritual passion grow. Pradeep brought in something about we were spiritual overweight. If we don't share out, learn so much but keep it inside, we become overweight. When we share something that God has done in our life, our passion for God actually deepens. Paul wrote to Philemon and he says this, I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Paul wanted Philemon to fully understand all of the blessings he has in Jesus. And how would that happen? By actively sharing his faith. Paul knows that as we actively tell someone about why we chose Jesus and how he has impacted our lives, that when you talk about how in Christ we are redeemed, we are forgiven, we have peace. As we share more and more, our understanding of those concepts that I just mentioned will also deepen. Our experience of Jesus' love will also deepen. You know, I like how this pastor from Perth, Pastor Benny Hall, says it. The more we share, the more we internalize what we have learned. And the person who benefits most from gospel sharing is actually the person sharing. Why do we share? Sharing Jesus with others deepens our faith in Christ. And obviously, when we testify of Jesus, we are enabling more and more people to come and know and worship God. As Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 here, it is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. Since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. And as he speaks, Paul says in verse 15, as he speaks more and more and declaring that Jesus is Lord, it is for the hearer's benefit so that the grace is reaching more and more people. And then people will thank the Lord, overflowing of thanksgiving. And in turn, that glorifies God. Why do we share? Because each time we share and speak to someone about Jesus, we are making the grace of God reaching more and more people. So in the end, it's not just you and your spouse, your family, people here that are worshiping the Lord. More and more people will join us in giving thanks to the Lord. And finally, to the question of why do we share? Because Jesus himself did it and showed us how to do it. Now, telling others about the kingdom of God is the bulk of what Jesus did while he was on earth. He would communicate truth in all kinds of ways to all kinds of people. We see him doing it with Nicodemus in John chapter 3. And how did he do it? He witnessed by listening to Nicodemus. John chapter 4, he met a Samaritan woman at the well. How did he do it? He sat with her. He knew his lifestyle clashed with kingdom's lifestyle. He didn't hammer her with all the rules and laws. He just demonstrated compassion by listening to her, by drawing her to the living water. Jesus also reached out to Levi, the tax collector, as you read forward in Matthew 9. Jesus does witnessing by first noticing Levi from afar and then invited himself to his house to have a meal with him. Jesus even witnessed to a demon-possessed man. In Mark chapter 5, we read, he was demon-possessed, begging to be released from the pain and the suffering. Jesus did not witness to him with words. He witnessed to him by delivering him and say that the kingdom of God has come by this sign and this wonder. And those whom God has delivered, God has saved, God had witnessed to, I realized one thing that culminates all. I realized one thing that is common with all these instances when Jesus had witnessed to them about the kingdom of God. And that is, these people also went ahead and shared with other people. You look at the Samaritan woman. After encountering Jesus, she ran back into the town and said, "Come, come, come and see this man." And because she didn't keep it to herself, this good news of this man who told her everything about her life, we read that many believers from the town came and talked to Jesus and listened to Jesus. At the end of that, they exclaimed, "This man," referring to Jesus, "is really the Savior of the world." Levi called all his sinners' friends to his house to listen to Jesus, and in the process, his own heart was transformed. The possessed man, after he was healed, delivered, he wanted to follow Jesus. He begged Jesus, "Can I follow you?" But Jesus says, "No, go and tell others what I have done for you." And he went to the 10 cities, the Decapolis, and start proclaiming to all those people about Jesus. And they were all amazed. Those Jesus has set free, those whom he has reached out, they recognize the importance of the good news that Jesus saves, Jesus heals, Jesus forgives, and they don't keep it to themselves, but rather they see the value of sharing that with another person. All of us here have been set free by Jesus. Do we recognize the value in sharing or telling another about Jesus? And if we do, how do we begin? So with the acronym SHARE, I'm just thankful that it's only 5 words because I'm very bad with acronym. And out of the SHARE, I thought I'll share some practical reasons, practical ways that we can start telling Jesus, telling people about Jesus. And I'll start with something that we all can do. Can you repeat after me? Say, tell stories. Some of us are very good at that. And some of us are very dramatic also when we tell stories. So it's not something that we have problem doing. I'll start with something all of us can do within our power, which is to tell stories. And if I may add, telling of our story of how God met with us, how Jesus' love changes us, how and why we decided to follow Jesus is a story that only we can tell. This is the only story others cannot share on our behalf. Because why? Only you know the detail, really. Only you know how your soul feels when the good news comes to you. Only you know the tears or the struggle that you were facing when Jesus came and delivered you out of that. You alone know. And that's why this is the only story, personal testimony that God will ask of you to share. And it's a story that you don't have to memorize. You don't have to refer to notes. If I'm going to share with you how I came to know Jesus, I don't have to look at my notes, memorize out the story. Maybe when you're older, 93, when you share, maybe you need remembrance. But most of you are younger than that. You remember your conversion story. And guess what? Nobody can dispute your conversion story or discredit it. I'm sure when Paul shared his conversion story, some people might not believe it. Suddenly, a light from heaven flashed around me. I fell to the ground. I heard a voice saying, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And before I know it, I was blinded for 3 days. And then a man called Ananias came to restore my eyesight. And then I know it was Jesus who appeared to me on that road when I saw the light. I can guarantee you, the people who hear it for the first time will say, "Yaomo, so drama. How can it be?" Surely some of them dispute that or doubt what Paul says. People can doubt all they want about our personal testimony, about how the Lord met with us. But it matters not, because that is your encounter with Jesus. That is your story of how God changed your life. That's your personal testimony. And the truth is, we all love stories. You know, we live in a world where people are very hostile to good news these days. Telling stories, I feel, is an amazing, amazing way to communicate the gospel warmly and winningly. Those who will never listen to a sermon, like coming to church to listen, or to a gospel presentation, four spiritual laws, John 3:16 diagram, they will take opportunity to hear you share your story. Look at how Jesus also approaches the way he brings the truth of the kingdom of God. He most of the time tells stories. He used parables to communicate the truth of God. So why not use stories, power of stories, and our own story at that, to get gospel truth across in a way. And we Christians of all people should have more stories to tell, not just our conversion stories. All of us have experienced provision from God, protection from God, healing from God. Can we not use those stories to point people to who Jesus is? Our stories point people to what kind of God that we worship. I like how Archbishop Julian Liao says this. I went to a talk whereby he's there, and people ask him, what is your mission statement? What do you think your role as an archbishop is? And his answer is just so simple, but yet so profound. He says, my role, our role as believers is to share our story. That's it. And what is our purpose here? I propose my faith to someone and never impose my faith on others. Our story matters, and it's the simplest way to start talking about our faith in a non-threatening and not imposing way. The second how is something that I learned from Jesus also, and it involves us do more listening than speaking. And one of the ways we can truly listen to someone is to ask questions or answering questions on top of other questions, rather than being fixated on giving answers. Jesus did this a lot, I'm telling you. You can read the gospel story. Almost all the encounter that he has, he will always ask people questions on top of the questions that people ask him. Why? Because he wants to make them think of why they ask those questions. In Luke 18, just show an example. Jesus is asked a question, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? As a pastor, this is the golden question I wish anybody will ask me on any given day. Pastor Alexa, how should I enter the kingdom of heaven? And I will give them Alpha Blocket. Draw them John 3:16. Golden question to ask. But what did Jesus reply? He replied with another question. He said, why do you call me good? I bet and I'm certain this young man didn't expect that question from Jesus. But I'm also certain that this young man started to think of this question. Why do I call him good? And Jesus continued, no one is good but God alone. However, if no one is good but God alone, and you call Jesus is good, then it must follow that Jesus is God. Did you just see what happened there in that encounter, this young man with Jesus? Jesus has just taken this man to the logical conclusion that must follow from his own question. When religious leaders ask Jesus, is it right to pay taxes? What did Jesus do? Another question. He say, took a coin and say, whose image is this? Pharisees, looking for a way to accuse Jesus, they ask him, is it lawful for a man to heal on Sabbath? Jesus responded with another question. If any of you have a sheep and that sheep fall into a pit on the Sabbath, would you say that it's a stupid sheep, get out on your own or die because you can't work? No, what did Jesus say? Jesus asked that question. No answer was given. We soon realize this is the norm of how Jesus deals with people, answering question with another question. And each time Jesus did that, it brings to surface the assumptions of the person asking question. Now, I need to qualify. I don't want you to go around right now just asking question and no answer. You know, people say, how are you? What do you think? Don't do that. And because I used to ask that on every Sunday. Okay, some questions I just, you have to answer because it's annoying and not polite if you don't answer. But there are some questions bring out the assumption of the person. They have a deeper issue they are wrestling with, but yet they do not know how to bring it out. So they ask questions, trying to kill off the conversation or trying to show you contradiction of the Bible. But when we use question wisely to draw out the assumption, maybe then we are able to really know what issue bother the person, what issues that only Jesus will settle for them. So practice hearing people's heart by asking questions. When we do that, we allow a person a chance to speak their minds. Gary is going for another trail run in September. At this time round, lesser kilometer, okay? So no need to pray for him. In Kota Kinabalu. So I thought I should go, right? As moral support. Every spouse needs a moral support like that in the morning. Dear, go on your way, be at peace. When you come back, I bring you nice dinner. So moral support. And so I find myself looking through reviews on Agoda, Booking.com, TripAdvisor. When I was trying to book a hotel to stay, I see how many stars are. When you look for a review, you see how many stars people rate them. What were their experiences of the food, the ambience, the bed, their bathtubs. You know, these things are very important because I'm going to stay in a hotel 24/7 on that day. Some have unbelievable reviews, bad reviews. Even when I read, I say, zop lop, bankrupt at this hotel. Bathtub leaks lah, towel not clean lah, call service, no one answer. Today, there are many people who are very skeptical of faith. And who can blame them? They, like me, must have read or worse, have experienced and wrote bad reviews of Christians and churches they visited. Take a read at those reviews and you will find words like this to describe us. Hypocrites, homophobic, anti-intellectual, irrelevant, anti-progress, gullible. I got a bit offended just reading them because I don't think that describes me or you or us. Me, gullible. These views certainly don't represent, don't reflect Jesus or the gospel that he preached. But they do describe some Christians, some churches, and the unfortunate experiences of some people who have encountered Christians. I know none of us are perfect in how we live our life, how we live out our faith, but we are called by Jesus to live and share our faith in such a way that other people are able to see Jesus in us. Apostle Paul reminds us that we're ambassadors for Christ. We represent God. It's as if God is making an appeal through us to them. And just as people are sometimes turned away from faith because of the negative witness of Christians, most people who choose to follow Jesus also do so because of the positive witness of Christians. I can guarantee if I ask you to raise your hand today, ask anyone in your life that has shown you positive reviews, that's why you are more inclined to also follow Jesus. Many of us have friends and have positive reviews of Christians. In other words, most become Christians do so because we review positively of church, of God. They experience love, an example of love in their life, and therefore they are more inclined to believe. What are the evidence of grace, humility, love, and justice? To the non-religious, to the non-Christian, to the non-spiritual church, it is really how we love and care for one another. That is what really attracted me to Christianity. Well, when I start to know Jesus, I know it because of my free singing, you know, like in church, free singing. And the church that I go to, they give two mics in front. You can come out as the spirit leads and sing loud so everybody can hear you. And every week I will take the opportunity because no karaoke at home. I might come to God through that free stuff, free meal. But what really helped me to move myself to the right, to want Jesus, is I see people genuinely care for one another. They really love another person as what Jesus called them to do. And I think this is what Jesus had in mind. When we show love, when we give generously and give to government as tax, when we serve others selflessly and love radically, this is what he told us. Let your light so shine before people so they can see good things you do and praise your Father who is in heaven. The good things that we do, church, speak. Be the positive reviews others read and decide to book a meeting with Jesus. And in the end, witnessing to others is not something we can do without us relying on God through prayer. And this is what Paul reminded us again in Colossians 5:4. Devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open the door for our message, that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, which I'm in chains. Pray that I may proclaim clearly as I should. Basically, Paul is saying this. We must talk to God first about those people that are far away from him. And then we talk about God with them. Just two things. Talk to God. Pray that God will open doors for us to share Christ. And when we do that, we pray and believe that God will open doors. Some of us pray for that and we don't believe that. I really believe if you pray for an opportunity to reach out to your friends and your family members, God will open doors. And when God opens doors, pray that we will be given words to talk about God with them. So let me encourage us with this. If you want to influence people, influence change in people's lives by pointing them to Jesus, start by praying for them. We sang a song, I Speak Jesus. Sing that song every day. Speak Jesus into their life. Pray Jesus into their life so that God can come and open doors for us to reach out to them. The prayer connection is powerful. Many of us come to faith because we pray and believing God will lead them to Himself. And lastly, just as we rely on God for open doors and open hearts to hear our message, the last E, we also can ask God to empower His own message with His power. In fact, without God's power, our message can be just mere words or human wisdom. That's what Apostle Paul tell the Corinthian church. Whenever he preaches, it's never with human wisdom, never with persuasive words, but it comes forth in the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power. When he told the Romans in chapter 15, I will not venture to speak of anything about Christ except what He has accomplished in my life through the power of signs and wonders and word. It's a combination of the message and the power of the Spirit. Now, while signs and wonders on their own do not save, they function as a witness to God's word. When it pleases God to demonstrate His power in signs and wonders, as Martin Lloyd-Jones, you should get a book, his book called Revival. And I quote what he say, these wondrous works, this power of God can compel people to pay attention, to look and start to listen. That is why we need to pray for this. And he says this, when God acts, He can do more in a minute than a man with his organizing can do in 50 years. So ask the Lord to back up His message with His power. And in my mind, I think the greatest sign or miracle to the power of God is when we see a life transform, when one follows Jesus, as shown in this video.
15歲嗰時咧，我就一個好奇怪嘅事，一個好奇妙嘅嗰個時間咧，我哋一班後生仔啊，會喺嗰個雜鋪鋪嗰度集合，日日喺嗰度吹水咯，揾勾打咯，人哋出嚟蒲咯，跟住有一個人咧，一個後邊我識得呢個人咧，呢個人係成個 parents 養大嘅一個大兄，佢嗰度去茶鋪鋪嗰度咧刨夜仔，佢媽係賣垃圾嘅喎，佢老豆好早就死啦。佢就點樣講？刨咗夜仔啊，刨好多啊，十幾粒咧，所以講好長時間。佢就睇我哋喺嗰度咧，日日啊揾狗打，冇事做啊，我行嚟行去咁樣。跟住咧，突然之間有一日，佢會攞 走行過嚟同我講，弟兄，你唔會覺得你嘅時間浪費咗，人哋生命係咪好空虛？就係突然之間有一個人咁樣同我嚟講，因為我哋日日喺嗰度吹水吹到好爽嗰時啊，跟住啊，突然之間有一個人問我哋：你係咪好空虛？人哋冇事做，我哋呢班人咧，其實嗰時咧真係好好攰啊。跟住咧有一日喎， 我發覺到呢個人做得鳩朋友，因為做咩？佢好誠實。基督徒俾我第一個印象啊，係咩？好誠實。佢好似平時叫我，你冇事做係咪？你過嚟我教會呢度啊，參加下 inback， 好似我哋而家我哋教會 inback 一下啦。跟住我咧就成日放佢飛機喎。佢講我4點嗰度等你，我哋嗰度6點 開始嘅，我哋一齊出嚟祈禱一下，喺嗰個海邊啊，因為我住嗰個地方係一個好細嘅漁村嚟嘅，海邊嗰個祈禱一下，我都啊得啦得啦得，但係咧，我成日放佢飛機嘅喎。 佢真係四點啊，落大水嗰度等我喎。所以講，我覺得呢個人係好誠實，做一鳩朋友嘅。所以講，佢講嘅嘢咧，我會聽。佢好簡單啫，佢約我有一日咧，佢約我去，因為嗰時咧，嗰時做科仲做得戲院做得放一部戲喎，叫《耶穌傳》喎。我就係去嗰個《耶穌傳》嗰度咧，開始嗰時啊，好 boring。呢出戲好 boring， 但係我講呢條友去死嗰時咧，仲得把巧嗰度喎。你哋覺得越睇咧越唔同咗喎。突然之間，為咩呢個人為我哋死？跟住又做得咁慘，都有神，但係做咩做到咁？我哋講咁烏夜咁慘嘅嘢，我覺得真係好奇怪咯。跟住聽曬之後，睇咗嗰出戲咧，我有少少感動。突然之間咧，佢就攞出一本細細本嘅黃色嘅書，嗰個黃色嘅書咧。就是四个属灵定律，我唔知道，大家明知道冇嗰个四个属灵定律，佢入边内容，跟住佢系从我自己一个中心变成用主耶稣放喺入边嗰度，佢就同我一起做第一个正正式式嘅祈祷啊，咁样陪住我去。希望我唔會侵咁多呢啲人，跟住咧同我了解聖經。聖經係咩？佢好簡單，佢講聖經就係神同你説話。跟住我就讀咯，信咗之後都有起起落落啦，一定嘅咯。跟住我有同大家 share， 因為我開始嗰時咧好熱喎，就係想同人哋講，有一條友啊幫我哋死喎。呢、这個人個講嘅話聽得下喎，因為佢講嘅嘢啊好誠實，人哋我哋就好需要。因為開始嗰時我未信耶穌嗰時候好空虛，日日就係食飽起身打交漏臭啊，跟住燒煙，我燒好耐喎，好後生嗰時燒，就係咁樣改變咗我。我朋友嗰啲。會覺得我的改變咧，好 rapidly 啊，好緊要喎。咁樣突然之間呢條友學堂成日打交嘅人，會變成掂掂自己坐喺旁邊嗰度。因為嗰時我已經開始思考我後邊嘅路應該點樣行。而嗰個弟兄如果冇同我 share 呢個故事啦，我相信我已經係一個好壞嘅人，已經。因為我是獨生子，跟住阿爸阿媽好錫，跟住我生活嘅地方，我生活嘅環境都唔錯嘅，係算富有啦。問題講就係心入邊好空虛，就用呢啲刺激嘅嘢嚟填滿我自己。做大佬喎，真係好爽喎。呢啲就係我講嘅故事喎。嗱，成結。
Thank you, Chin. God is in the business of saving all the gangsters all across Malaysia. Ah, Cheras, Chiwai. Jinjiang, can you get over Jinjiang, please? If the brother, by the way, the one who shared Christ with Chin was just 2-3 years older than he was. So he's actually a youth, yeah? If the brother didn't care enough about Chin wasting his life away and didn't take the courage to ask him some perplexing questions so that he can start thinking about life purpose, today we want to hear a wonderful testimony of a brother's life that has been completely transformed because he met Jesus. Someone cared enough and loved him enough to share with him Jesus. How did you come to faith? Who is it that shared Jesus with you? And here's the question that I really want to ask each of us. Are there people who would say that you play a key part in them becoming a follower of Jesus? Perhaps you have invited them to church, or you shared your faith story with them. Maybe you took time to listen and pray with them. Could you have taught them in Sunday school, Impact Youth, in Bible study? Could you have served someone with the love of Jesus, and your actions led them to consider Jesus? If you're sitting here and you cannot think of anyone that would name you as a key person for them coming to know Jesus, it's still not too late to want to intentionally share faith with someone and bearing witness to who Jesus is and tell them why is it worth it all to follow him. And that's the challenge I will leave with you today. I call it the Five Fingers Challenge. You see, I've been looking at the palms of my hand a little bit more these days. Started with, because I need to attend, I want to. We organize a small bridal party. Hands Day for Pastor Melissa. So one of the things that we brought her to do is manicure and pedicure. And from that day onwards, right, I've been looking a lot at my palm and discover my right palm is actually harsher looking than my left palm. More wrinkled, not so nice to touch compared to my left one. And I didn't even do much laundry and dishwashing. Anyway, as I was looking at them, I realized, so vain. Going to be 47 this year already. Of course, more wrinkled lah. Got hand already, be thankful lor. Y'all don't have experience like this one, meh? No? None of you are vain? Only your pastor is vain? Yeah. Yes! Okay, Pastor Melissa is also quite vain after that. Anyway, as I was thinking how vain I was, a thought came. You won't believe this. This real story, true story. A thought came, and I believe it's the Spirit of God. Why don't I think each of my fingers, because it's nicer and it's on video, it represents five people I know that who don't attend church, who stop attending church, who may never have people intentionally share Jesus with them. But each of them is someone that know me and I know them, someone that I have some measure of influence with, someone that I would love seeing them follow Jesus. So I started to pray and ask for names. And guess what? Each of my finger now has a name. And I hope that God will open doors for me to share Jesus with them. This morning, because I love all of you, I will share and extend the fingers naming exercise to PJEFC. Who are those that God is bringing to your mind now to share your faith with? What will be the name of your thumb, I wonder? Or your index finger? Is it your spouse? Is it your co-worker? Is it someone that you see, your neighbors whom you know might not have purpose in life like Chin? And the Spirit of God is asking you right now to name that person as part of your five fingers and start praying for them. Over the next year, why don't we dedicate time to pray for them? And we intentionally reflect Christ-like by doing good works, by serving them. And finally, when God gives you the opportunity to share him with them, take the bold step to share your faith story with them. Five fingers, five people, 1 year. That's the challenge I'm giving to PJEFC this morning.
You have been listening to a sermon from PJEFC. We hope you have been blessed by the message. For more sermons, please go to www.pjefc.org/sermons. Love God, love people, make disciples.